Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
So we've been talking about self-control. And self-control, remember, is not you gritting your teeth and mustering up the strength to have self-control. Self-control is you having a relationship with Jesus, and He's co-laboring with you to assist you on your journey in this life. You see that? And now you got yourself under control. Because the one that's co-laboring with you is telling you the truth about you. And your value and your esteem is coming up. And now I know who I am. I'm not going to just put anything in my body. I'm not going to just jump in bed with something. I'm going to know who I am because I'm valued. You see, you're only worth what puts value on you. You're worth so much, Jesus died on the cross. He valued you so much. You see that? Anything's only worth what people put the value on, right? Your house is only worth what somebody will pay for it, right? So you're worth what Jesus paid for you. That ought to make you stand up. Are you with me? Come on. Now think about this. Self-control is an outcome of your connection with God. So in other words, what I used to get mad and angry at, I don't get mad anymore. In other words, the person that pushed my trigger, you heard about triggers, you hearing about, oh, they triggered me to do this. Well, they can't trigger you no more. Because when that trigger goes off, it's a trigger for more kindness and more grace and more mercy to extend to people. You see that? Because He's with you, co-laboring with you, because you've been under the mission. You've been willing to submit under the mission. Remission, submission, commission. You see that? That's the great, He calls it the great commission. Because you're co-laboring with Jesus. You see that? You're not just floundering and wandering around out there. You're working with Jesus. Don't you lie? We had a teacher came up and showed me a picture this morning. Said she went to school last year. Public school, Sydney High School. Dressed like Jesus. And everybody said, oh, who are you? She goes, well, who do you think I am? And they came up with all these different names. She says, no, Jesus. And she told everybody, I like that. You better stand up for Him, amen? Right up there, right in the middle of it. Well, you think she's going to take some heat for that? But the more heat she takes, the more she's being developed. You see that? And that's all for your good. Am I making sense? All right. This is going to help you when you understand. So we've been talking about self-control and reigning in life. Now look at this. Give me Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. So look at the word death. That means separation from God. So in other words, that's talking about Adam. Because of Adam's sin, we all were separated. We all had death on us. See that? Means separated from God. If you don't get out of that, that's forever. Separation from God forever. But now look. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one man, through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. When you got saved and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, His righteousness came on you. And now He's given you the free gift of righteousness so you can reign in life. And the more you're in touch with that, the more He empowers you with His grace. You see that? Grace is power to enable you to do what you cannot do on your own. You see? That's why you need Him co-laboring with you. He's full of grace and full of truth, it says in John chapter 1. Full of grace and full of truth. And His grace will be all over you when He's co-laboring with you as you journey through life. Am I making sense? But now look at this. So now we've been talking about, last week we talked about freedom. Freedom. So when you're free, you're free. He said you're going to know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. So I want to be free. How about you? God doesn't want you to be in bondage. He doesn't want you to be trapped. He wants you to be free so you can do His will. So we can say it like this. I want to be free to be me. See, the more you understand freedom, now you're seeing who you are. You see that? You need His freedom to be who He created you to be. Freedom. Let's say it again. Freedom.
Freedom.
One more time. Freedom.
Freedom.
Ah.
Jesus' name.
This is it, man.
Kingdom men.
Yeah, that's it. Kingdom men. Watch this. Freedom. Dom, D-O-M, means dominion. When you understand who you are, you're dominion. You're dominating. You're in control of you. You see that? Not people. Never people. But who you are. And now you want that freedom to give God glory and honor Him. Amen? Go with me to, we're going to do a quick review. Acts chapter 13 real quick. This is where we were last week. I got some stuff I didn't get through last week, so I'm going to hit it again for a minute. So now, Paul is talking about a prophecy out of Habakkuk. And now let's look at this. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Beware, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Give me the next one. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Now, go with me to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Now, you know what he's saying? Paul was alerting us in the New Testament. Now, of this prophecy. You see that? Now, if people would hear about what we're teaching in this church, they would say, what's going on at that church? See, we're not a three-point and poem church. You see that? We're out to call that trauma, that abuse, all that illness out and bring healing in. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God brings healing into your life. You see? And it hurts sometimes when that comes out. But you see, that's when people like to run, when it starts hurting. Right? That's when they need to get in there more. Because then it comes out. And then now you're healed. It's like, dude, what used to bother you and really bring you down? You think, why did I ever even get concerned with that? It's like it was no big deal. Right? So now look, so if people would hear, well, Pastor Fred's over there preaching about demons. Yeah. Because they're out there. Am I right? You better understand what I'm talking about. We don't want to be ignorant, right? We don't want to be ignorant. See, we got a vision in the house, right? Look at this. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Now give me the next one. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of earth to what? To possess dwelling places that are not theirs. So what's going on here? They're raising up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were taught and trained to destroy God's people. The word Chaldean is the word demon. That's what it means. Or it means to lay waste. Or it means wanderer. Wanderer. Just wandering through life. You know, you just not making any sense. But when the Holy Spirit came in, all hell broke out. But I began to see things in a whole different way. See, that's what happened to Paul. He was wandering. In Acts 26, he was wandering and God knocked him off his horse. He said, for this purpose, Jesus said, for this purpose, I've come to make you a minister and a witness of the things that you have seen and the things that will be revealed to you in the future. He said, now I'm sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me, an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days. That's what's going on right now. Our inheritance is being revealed, and the Chaldeans and the demonic forces want to take it from you. But you got to understand who you are. And when you know who you are, you can present it to your children and they'll have it. You can present it to your grandchildren and they'll have it. Am I making sense? Amen. Come on now. Now think about this. That's what they come. They come to possess dwelling places that they steal. Now look, what's it say in John 10? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so who's behind that? The devil, Satan, right? He has his cohorts, an army, working for him. Remember, he can't be everywhere at all times. He can only be one place, but he has spirits working for him in the community, in the city, in the schools, in the churches, on your job. He's got them working. And this is what we got to be aware of. Now, go with me to Matthew 12:43 real quick. We'll look at that. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I have come. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about when a person comes to Christ and gets saved and baptized and they get all on fire and get excited. Well, then they get hurt. Something hurts them. And then they go away and they say, I don't think I want to go back to church. Or I don't want, because they got hurt. Somebody hurt them. You know, when you get hurt, that's selfish. Huh? When you're all focused on yourself, God wants you to get beyond that. He really does. So you can be healed. Because it hurts to get healed sometimes. Am I making sense? And we have to be willing to be hurt and understand what's going on. Look what he says. I will return to my house, that's the person, from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it, what? Empty, swept, and put in order. You don't want to keep your house empty. If it's empty, something else is going to come in there. You keep your house filled with God's word. Filled with God's praise, filled with God's worship. And keep your children filled with God's word, filled with God's praise. Are you with me? You got to keep yourself full of it. You don't want to be empty, right? Now look, that's why it says be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit. And he's talking about the will of God there. He says don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit. That's huge. You got to keep yourself full of it. And that's our position, to stay full of it. Amen? Now look, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Give me the next one. Then he comes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Look, it gets worse and worse and worse. When you get away from God, the enemy's going to make it worse than it's ever been. I've seen that over and over in this church. I've seen people come, and you ask about them. I mean, their world is falling apart. Is this making sense? But if I see the ones who stay in here and stay connected, where their lives begin to change. Their house begins to change. Their bills start getting paid. They're actually smiling and really loving on each other, and their marriages are happy. Are you with me? That's real huge. Your kids should see affection in your home. They should see real love and affection. That's magnanimous. When they see it, they want it. But if they hear you talking about your Jesus and you're in strife and arguing all the time, they don't want nothing to do with that. That creates rebellion. And that's the Chaldeans working to get the children. You see that? Because he's after the kids. Now watch. I want you to go with me to Daniel. Daniel 1:4, real quick. This is huge. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might, what? Teach, indoctrinate. Who? People. Pay attention. The language and literature of who? The Chaldeans. You seeing that? They want to indoctrinate you with everything against God. They want you to be filled with that. And see, this is a physical depiction of the spiritual reality that's going on. In the Old Testament, it's a physical depiction of the spiritual reality that's taking place today. That's why we want to do the opposite. We want to raise up young men who come in here and shout and get excited about the Lord. Amen? And who want to serve the Lord and keep the word of God in their mouth and continue to keep the message on and keep this generation alive in the things of God. Amen? And boy, we got a lot to up against us, but together, we can put a major stick in the devil's spokes. Amen? He ain't got nothing. When we're together in unity, God commands the blessing. God commands the blessing, Psalms 133. When we're unified, God commands the blessing. You will be blessed in a place where there's unity. Now listen, that's why we got to get along. We got to get along with each other. Now give me the next one. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, their appetites. They were really focused on their appetites, what they were feeding them. Now look. And of the wine which he drank. Now this is King Nebuchadnezzar. Now he was the king over Babylon. Babylon's confusion. You see that? Now watch. Delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. All these people that have been trained. Now watch. Give me the next one. Now from among these of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hannah, and Michael, and Ezra. Now, think about this. So what they were training is these Chaldeans to do what? To take what was not theirs. Right? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Are you with me? Remember in Habakkuk 1, 5, and 6, to take dwelling places that do not belong to them. And that's what it's all about. Go back to verse 4 real quick, Tim. Now give me verse 5. The whole idea is they are after young people. The next generation. And that's why we want to be raising up people in here who are going to take a stand for this generation and generations to come. You see that? That's why we're going to serve the Lord. It says in Psalms 100, serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, He is God. For it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. For we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful in Him and bless His name. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. All generations. When He's Lord, that's what you do. You pass it on. Now look at this. He was after training these Chaldeans. He was after their mind, their body, and their identity. Their pride, the pride of life. Now look, what belonged to God, that's what He's after. And it talks about it in 1 John 2, 13, 14, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world, and the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. That's what we're after. We're after God's will. Amen? Remember, they were teaching the literature of the Chaldeans to the young people. Give me 1 Timothy 4:1 real quick. This is huge. Now, when's now? Now's now. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So what were the Chaldeans doing? They were after the next generation. And remember, we talked about last week, they went in and they took the treasure. Remember? They took the treasure out of God's house and put it in their God's house. So they're after the tithe. The treasure was the silver and the gold. And so they took it out, and that's what they're after. They're after this generation and the tithe. That's why you and I have to have this principle of tithing in our lives. It's a protection over us. It's a protection and a principle over your life for your well-being, for your family, and for the gospel to continue. You see that? It really is. That's what the tithe is all about. So if you've got this negative idea when somebody brings up tithing, oh, they want your money. Guess who's behind that? Who's behind that? That's why he says in Matthew 6, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You will love the one or hate the other. Matthew 6:24. We're going to love Jesus. Amen? Amen. Mammon was an Assyrian god over money. Mammon was an Assyrian god and a prince in hell. And his spirit is on the world system's money. Making sense? And that's why, if you hear the statistics today, more than ever, young people are in debt. Charging grocery. All the debt just keeps going up and up and up. More debt. More bondage and more bondage. God doesn't want you in debt. You see that? When you learn and put these principles in place, it'll help you get out of debt. You see that? And you'll be able to take your family on a vacation. Are you with me? And you're not going to worry about the gas prices. Because God's going to provide for you. Am I making sense? That's the way it is. Well, he says, try me. He says in Malachi chapter 3, try me in this. Nowhere else in Scripture does he say that. He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You've stolen from me. Who? People who aren't tithing. You're taking from God. It's all God's. What were the Chaldeans up to? Taking what was not theirs. Are you listening to me? You catching this? So when you understand and you put that principle in place, now God sees your heart. Now he can trust you. You see that? If he can't trust you, he's not going to increase you. Right? He's not going to increase you in the things of God. He says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. For your benefit. Who's the devourer? Help me out. The Chaldean spirit and the mammon spirit on your money. He'll rebuke it. In Jesus' name. And provide for you. So now think about this. Now, the spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, teaching of demons. You see that? Now listen. Give me the next one. Speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now think about this. Speaking lies of hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? The word hypocrisy means stage play act. You're acting like something you're not. Having their own what? Conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, if anybody has taken psychology, the word conscience, con, C-O-N, means with science, knowledge. With knowledge. Now look, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This word seared means cauterized. But here's how the conscience works, if you take psychology. Your conscience will be full of knowledge, and what will happen, it will drop knowledge down into your subconscious. And now, when you have something in your subconscious, that's what you live out of. It drops down. Speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared, cauterized. Now, I had my lip removed because I used to smoke 40-some years ago. And there was a little spot on my lip, and it turned into something, and I had to have it cut off. And I praise God the day that happened. I didn't get all wigged out. Because that was just a seed that was done, and I did something stupid, smoking.
Right. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.